This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, Mike Somich, back from Vegas. He did say week 11 was a very interesting week, and I'd like to get his take. It might have been interesting at Circa last night. If you're looking to sharpen your edge across all sports, VSiN Pro is where to start. Try out $9.99 first month. Just see if you like it. I promise you will. Educate yourself. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Of course, VSiN is the host of this podcast, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. How's Vegas?
Vegas. Well, there's the voice.
you're like a hockey team that's taken on VGK with the Vegas flu coming back, my man.
Couldn't have scripted that one better, huh, Patrick?
No.
It was no edit. It was a lot of fun. I'm going to be honest. It was a lot of fun. Very interesting couple nights in Vegas hanging out at Circa. Love the place. Was hanging out with Derek on Friday night, and Rick Harrison from Pawn Stars hung out with us as well, so it was very cool to meet him. And you would have loved all of the different memorabilia he was talking about from the different presidents in the past. And then went down to dinner after the show on Sunday, and guess who was down at Barry's? CeeDee Lamb and all of the wide receivers for the Dallas Cowboys. So very eventful two nights around Circa for me.
Well, hopefully you got some intel, because, of course, Vegas tonight hosting Dallas. Dallas is 3.5. Interesting number there. We'll get to that in just a bit. You made it through hanging out with Derek Stevens, the proprietor of Circa, which is, I mean, that's a feat in itself. That's like a 4-touchdown, 5-touchdown day from Josh Allen.
I'm just saying, there are certain people who you meet and you're just like, this guy is cool to hang out with, that you don't necessarily expect that's going to be the case. Derek Stevens, awesome dude, awesome hang, just an absolute blast. It was fun being able to grab some drinks with him on Friday night. And then, the whole Circa experience all weekend was great, because we had a very good college football weekend on Saturday. The place was packed. And then on Sunday, man, just an absolutely awesome weekend of football. Just from a game perspective, we'll talk about how the actual product was as we get into some of these games. But it just banger after banger there on Sunday. It's fun to be there. Fun to talk a lot of Survivor as well.
100%. All right, let's get it started. We'll go back to Monday night, where we had Jets Pats 27-14, close, 12.5-13. This was very important. This is why betting can be fun, because depending on the number you got, Mike, you were either hoping for a push there late or a cover there with the 13 landing the number to kick off week 11. 27-14 takeaways from the Patriot Jets. And by the way, news, it is going to be Tyrod Taylor moving forward.
Yeah, the Jets came out and talked about having to evaluate everything. Probably a good decision. Maybe should have done that a little bit earlier in the season. Is the writing was on the wall for a little bit here. I don't want to harp on Drake May, but man, you come out of watching this Patriots game, you're like, Drake May is the dude. He is a very, very good football player. This is a Patriots team that's probably a little overvalued in the market because of their schedule. But at the same time, they've got their guy. They've got their guy for a very, very long time. Was asked by someone, if you redrafted the NFL right now with contracts included, who do you take as the number one pick if you're an owner? I think it's pretty easy to say Drake May. I like love Josh Allen, love Patrick Mahomes, but I'll take the younger player under a controlled contract who looks like there's going to be a very, very bright future.
Yeah, and I have an obsession with Jaden Daniels, but you do see the prototypical, even above prototypical size from May, which just feels like, now injuries can be freaky, so you don't want to jinx the kid, but feels like somebody that's stout, plays almost Jackson Dartish sometimes, but they don't live on the same planet talent-wise. May was great in the game. I actually thought the Jets, it was a clean game, fast game. Not a ton of penalties. You can't really say anything bad about the Jets. They're just not the Patriots right now.
Yeah, they're not good. Trayvon Henderson, I thought, was awesome in this game as well. He gets the opportunity to really be the featured back. Goes 19 for 62, only averages 3.3 a carry, but does get into the end zone twice. Also able to make a play through the passing game. That would be a huge thing for this Patriots team if they can get some explosiveness out of the running back position, something they've lacked all season.
Yeah, 3 touchdowns for Henderson, who they're starting. If that kid, May, who you love, and I do too, if May starts to get a run game, that offense can, when you can come off the run, it is such a game changer. So the Jets head to Baltimore. Obviously, we'll get to Baltimore here in just a bit. Mike, I think the 14.5 was a look ahead with the Jets at Baltimore. And I am seeing 13.5s pop up. Love for Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I think it's partially Tyrod Taylor. You're right. 14.5 was a look ahead, reopened at 14.5. And it's been Jets money coming in. And I am excited to talk about Baltimore with you because I also think we're going to close the show. I'm putting this out now so you got some time to think about it. Who are the three most fraudulent teams in the NFL right now? I'll give a little spoiler. I think you could include Baltimore on that list.
Did you say Detroit? I'm sorry.
No, I didn't say Detroit. Also, like, the quarterback collapses this week were absolutely insane, well, too. I mean, we'll looking forward to going over everything because this was a crazy week.
For longtime golf observers, that's not a collapse. That's reality last night in Philly, which we'll get to in just a bit. Don't be confused by him indoors. Okay, so the Patriots, they have, let me just make sure I get it, Cincinnati. They head to Cincinnati. So, again, and we were talking to Michael, who's a Patriot fan, with the Broncos beating the Chiefs. That one seed right now very much up in the air, so New England needs to keep their foot on the gas. I think a 5 look ahead, and now we're all the way past that key number of 7. There still are some 7s with the Patriots laying it at Cincinnati.
Yeah, we'll talk more in depth into this game once we talk about Cincinnati because I have a feeling a suspension might be coming in that Patriots-Cincinnati game.
Shouldn't spit on people. Is that
a good look?
No, it's not tremendous. Madrid, Spain. You and I was texting you about this Dolphins 16, Commanders 13. I don't really know where. They do cover the 2.5, which it closed, the Dolphins. Samage is a Dolphins fan. And take a look at the schedule. If you want to get weird, you can. And speaking of weird, coaching decisions and just gameplay in Madrid, weird.
Yeah, load up that Dolphins playoff push, baby. Saints, Jets, Steelers, Bengals. Let's go. Let's rip off 4 in a row. Be 8-7 going into the last couple weeks of the season. I don't actually think that's going to happen with this Dolphins team. I texted you. This was the least exciting game that was masquerading around as exciting. Yeah. We saw both these teams be able to go up and down the field, but then just shoot themselves in the foot when they get in the red zone. This is a game that had multiple stops at the goal line. We saw 2 missed field goals by the Commanders, which obviously matter when you lose by a field goal in overtime. These are two bad
exactly.
Teams. We'll just start out there. These are two not good football teams. The international games also just create a bad product, which is kind of like we have to accept that at this point. We've seen atrocious international games across the board this year. The one game that could be the exception, that Colts game last week that went to overtime, that was at least fun. Every other international game outside of the opener Friday night has been an absolute mess, and this one kind of fitted that formula. Two teams that just made mistakes. Like the Dolphins' defense allowing Mariota to have that long run toward the end of regulation was an absolute backbreaker. I mean, just issues on both sides of the ball for both these football teams. Neither one I'm overly optimistic for their success moving forward.
Did you have a problem late when I was texting you about McDaniel not kicking the field goal, forcing Washington to come back and at least tie it up with under 2 minutes to play?
I didn't. I had a problem with the play call.
Run right up the gut.
That was more of my issue. Like, we've tried this a couple times, and guys, it has not worked. Let's not just keep banging our head against the wall, or in this case, banging our head against the interior of the Washington Commanders defense. I don't mind the opportunity, like the going for it, because you're putting them in such a bad position when they're hemmed in on their own goal line. And if you score a touchdown, you more or less win the football game at that point. Obviously, you allow the Commanders to come back and kick a field goal if they're able to move the football. But there's also quite a bit of upside on you just getting the football back and then kicking the game-winning field goal. So I don't mind the decision. And this is kind of a lot of my Dolphins feelings. I don't mind the decisions. The play calls that match up with the decisions are absolutely atrocious, and that's where I start to get upset about this.
Coming back from Spain, week 12 byes, of course, the Dolphins and Commanders do choose to go on their bye. Week 12, Broncos and Chargers also on a bye. We continue here, sharp money. Let's go 459. The Texans, a 16-13 winner over the Titans. Cam Ward had a tremendous drive late in this game against a very good defense. You had the Titans favored in the fourth end game. However, we did have – it's a must-win for the Houston Texans in that spot. They do, 16-13. Don't cover the number.
No, they don't cover the number. They took – like, this is a Texans team that kind of just took care of business. The first half was ugly for both of these teams. 3-0 at half. The Texans come out, put up a 10 spot in the third quarter. Give up a touchdown late, but able to rally down the field and get a field goal. I thought Ward was actually a lot better in this game than we'd seen in the past. He did take a couple sacks, had a fumble in one of those, but this was a more efficient Titans offense. They were 6 for 15, and it's an offense that just doesn't have much left at the wide receiver position either. Calvin Ridley goes down in game here. Eric Iemanoir goes down in game here as well. So they lose their top two wide receivers, and yet they're still able to at least be decent against this Texans defense, which I still have as one of the best three in the NFL. It's a problem when Cam Ward is your leading rusher, 3 for 33. Tony Pollard goes 10 for 22 here. Like, you need a running game to support a quarterback like Cam Ward, especially with the talent that you have around him, and the Texans just did not allow that. And that, to me, was really the difference in the game here. Davis Mills starts for the Texans. We expected that. Supposedly, we are going to get Stroud back next week.
Yeah, so bereft of talent, it's even kind of hard to judge Cam Ward. Like, that drive is a miracle. And to me, I'm like, okay, I think I see enough, because he doesn't have a line. He doesn't have skill, as you mentioned, with Ridley going out, and he doesn't have a run game. Like, what do you – I don't know what the kid is expected to do. Now, it is a quick turnaround for Houston. They go Tennessee back home to Houston, and Buffalo in town. We're seeing the market react to both games from Buffalo and Houston yesterday, right, Samo? Because 2.5 look ahead with Buffalo laying it. Now we've been pushed across the 3 to 3.5, Pinnacle showing 3.5. FanDuel and DraftKings are both showing 5.5. That is disparate in the market right now. But you had a great performance from the Bills, and so-so performance, obviously not great from Houston.
Yeah, this is a fascinating Thursday night game. First off, I do think it is C.J. Stroud, but I think some of those 5.5 are just like, hey, just in case, let's just put a more middling number out there because we don't want to have a bunch of Bills 3.5 money. This was one of the look-ahead games. If you go over at VSiN.com, write an article every week, we've got Bills 2.5 in the account because we bet this one last week before the games over the weekend. Total has also dropped quite a bit here, Patrick, because it was a 45 look-ahead. Reopener was 43.5. This Texans team, they need to be able to run the football to be successful. That's something the Bills do struggle to stop. So I do think there is a path to some Texans success on the offensive side. Then the big question is, can Josh Allen throw the cape on again? And he had one of the worst interceptions since his like second year in the league last week. But after that, he just looked phenomenal against that Bucs defense. He's going to need to put the cape on against one of the best defenses in the NFL. I'm not sure how many points this Texans score. And that's why I ended up backing the Bills there at 2.5. At 3.5, I started to get a little more squirrely. It would still be Bills or pass for me, but I can't quite get to the window with the Bills on the road here.
I think the total dropping is correct. And we'll get to the Bills, but Tampa Bay ran the football all over them, to your point. So if Houston does get a run game, maybe I can't bet. I can't bet Houston. Don't feel like on a Thursday laying a number on the road either, so I probably would look to the under there. I think you're going to see pretty conservative game plans from both and just try to get the hell out of Dodge. Next up for Buffalo, excuse me, we just got through Buffalo. Let's continue. We go 463. Are you ready to move on from Raheem Morris? Because I certainly am. I hate to beat a dead horse.
I kind of like Raheem Morris in the league.
I think he should. He was laying 3.5, and he gets beat straight up by a division rival, the Panthers, 30-27. Easily goes over the 42.5, obviously. But this is a Falcons team that, again, part of my language, puked up another.
Yeah, it was. They puked up is a good way to put it. And good call by you here. You took the Bears plus the 3. They end up getting the outright win. But it wasn't ever really in doubt. I mean, this was a Bears team that was dominating the game, and then all of a sudden we saw a little bit of a comeback from the Vikings. Bears kicked the walk-off field goal, but would have covered the 3 either way there.
Hey, Vegas, we're talking Carolina and Atlanta.
What?
You got Vegas brain.
Anyway,
it's okay.
Carolina, Atlanta.
No edits.
Dude, I wanted to talk Bears Vikings. Okay,
We will.
Falcons Panthers, man. This was an interesting game because you had the Falcons really dominate the first half. They were up 21-7, go to the break up 21-10. And Bryce Young just comes out and throws the football all over the place against him. McMillan goes 8 for 130. Bryce Young throws for almost 450 yards, 3 touchdowns. They end up winning the game in overtime. I thought it would have to be the Panthers' run game if they were going to really stay in this. Dowdle just goes for 45 yards in this spot, but it's Bryce Young that's able to lift them up. this is a Falcons team, too, that you got to be worried about going forward. It's not just the head coaching position here, but Penix Jr. gets hurt in this game. It's going to be Kirk Cousins moving forward. Drake London gets hurt in this game. He's already out next week, so a couple major injuries on the offensive side here for the Falcons. And it just kind of felt like the Falcons choked this one off, Patrick. Like, it's just one of those Raheem Morris things where, like, what are we doing? Like, you have a big lead at half. Just run the football. Keep doing what you're doing. Be successful with it. And they couldn't really move the ball at all in the second half against a lackluster Panthers defense.
Mike, the Falcons are up 21-10 in the second half. Now, here's the problem with betting, which will probably be fading Atlanta, though it's going to be baked in. Fading Atlanta. One thing kind of throughout the year you could focus on is a younger defense that was playing well. Not yesterday. The defense completely imploded. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, every time we're like, Bryce Young, I don't know if he's the future. He had his best game of his career, and it's really not even close. 448 yards. He was brilliant in the game. How much of that is on the Falcons defense? A much needed win. About if you want to talk about those fraudulent teams, I don't know where to put a Panthers team that's above 500 at this point.
Well, it's funny you say that. What do you think their win record is right now? Win total in season?
They're 6-5. So did they set the number at 8.5?
7.5.
I don't think they're going to get two more wins.
The under is the under at 7.5 is +145. Your boy may have bet it.
not believing in the Panthers.
So the Panthers have the Niners on the road. Then they play the Rams. Then they go to the Saints, a team that beat them 17-7 2 weeks ago. Then it's Bucks, Seahawks, Bucks to close the season.
Not great.
I mean, it's the Saints or the maybe one win. And I'm not even sure they get that.
And Bucks, Seahawks, Bucks, because of their divisions, might need those games, obviously, with the Carolina Panthers in division. You mentioned it's next Monday night. Carolina heads to San Francisco. 6.5 is the number. 6 was the look ahead. So a little jump from San Francisco here. I certainly focus on this total. I don't know if you saw Jacoby Brissett's numbers against, and they still got pummeled yesterday in Arizona by San Francisco. Both San Francisco and Carolina are going to score the football. I jump on that 47.5 right now.
Yeah, the look ahead here was 46, so we've already seen a 1.5 adjustment. 48, a key number in the NFL. We talked about that over in San Francisco, Arizona. That was one of my best bets for the week. This San Francisco team's a dead over team. They just are a dead over team. There's nothing left on that defense, and the offense is now getting healthier and able to move the football consistently. I like overs in San Francisco games if they're not in the 50s moving forward.
Totally agree. Next up, Atlanta travels to New Orleans. You mentioned Cousins in. Should they be laying? It's so interesting. FanDuel, the 3.5 was a look ahead, and then they puked it up. And now it's FanDuel lane 1.5 with Atlanta, DraftKings lane 1.5 with New Orleans. The market is drunk on this one.
Yeah, it's interesting because you mentioned it. 3.5 look ahead, 2.5 reopen, and we've seen just Saints money everywhere. Everyone's like, nah, go. No, guys, this is not an Atlanta team with no Penix and no Drake London that should be laying points. The Saints also coming off the bye, so it should be a positive situation for them. I thought Tyler Shuck showed some life in that Carolina game. Olave went for over 100 in that spot as well. Like, it would be New Orleans or pass. But I also feel like the numbers kind of run away a little bit. If you can go out and you can tease New Orleans up to 7.5, I like that. But I don't want to take the 1.5 with them or lay the 1.5 with the Saints right now.
Yeah, it would definitely be New Orleans for me. I would agree with that or pass it because it's such a weird game. 455, the Bucks at the Bills. 44-32 winner for the Bills. They do cover the 6.5. It goes well over the total. You asked for fraudulent teams. I'm ready to give you one. The Bills. The Bills stink. Listen, and it took you said the cape. It took everything from Josh Allen, and he was otherworldly in the game. I think everybody would agree with that. You know, Baker was a little off. Baker might be banged up. Baker was a little off. They don't have their weapons, but they ran the football all over one of the softer defenses in football, and that is the Bills. I am out on the Bills, in on Josh Allen, who's 3 in the market as your betting favorite to win the MVP.
Yeah, Josh Allen was just insane. After the early mistake, where he just threw one of the worst picks I've had, like the chest pass right over the middle at your own goal line. Not a great idea, Josh. After that, he was just phenomenal in this football game. Absolutely put the Bills on his back. Whatever a Terrell Shavers is, had a huge game. He goes 4 for 90 and a touchdown, including a long pass there for 43. Allen goes 6 for 40 with 3 touchdowns on the ground. So half the time he ran the football, he ended up in the end zone. But this Bills defense is the problem, Patrick. And that's where we have to kind of keep pushing our conversation with when you're talking about the Buffalo Bills. They go up 202 on the ground to Sean Tucker and Rashad White. Not exactly a dynamic duo in the backfield, and yet this Bills defense just could not stop the ground attack. Now, Baker, I agree with you. I do think he is a little bit banged up, just has not looked as sharp. He also needs to get some of his dudes back. Sterling Shepard, Emeka Ebuka right now, 1-2. We're expecting the window to be opened here next week with Chris Godwin. I think that helps out this Buccaneers offense. But this is a team that just needs to get healthy at the wide receiver position. They're expecting Bucky Irving back. Those are two injuries you got to keep an eye on moving forward here.
Yeah, 6-4. The Bucs still atop the NFC South, but obviously we just talked about the Panthers, so that race got tight. And again, Superman. That's why I think the Bills are fraudulent. 6 touchdown performance, 3 rush, 3 passing from Josh Allen. He has to, I'm sure he talks to his wife at night, like, these teams sucks. What else can I do? I think that's probably fair. Buffalo's at Houston. We talked about that one. Most shops are showing 5.5 with Buffalo. I agree with Mike. We've talked about Houston as an under team most of the year. Another under cash is for them. I'd probably on that Thursday night look under that 43.5.
Would you want to look at the Texans team total under instead of the game?
They probably set it at 17.5.
I'm guessing it'd be a little bit higher. So let's to divide the total by 2. We're talking about 21.5 and then half of whatever the spread
is. Maybe 18.5, somewhere in there.
I think you could probably get an 18.5, maybe 19.5. I kind of like the over under on the Texans team total more than the under on the game, just because I there is a world where Allen throws the cape on again, right? And the Bills go way over theirs, and you just see a Texans offense struggle because the one thing that the Bills have done decently on defense is rush the passer when they get the opportunity. If this line can't block for the run, then I could see the Bills being able to shut them down there. So I like the team total under for the Texans a little more than the game under.
You know, there's a reason that May is compared to Allen. It's not just the size and the arm strength, which are both, you know, two all-time greats just from an arm strength perspective, but it's also that interception you talked about with Allen. You can see May making that play.
100%. You can see Sam Darnold making it later in the day if you want to, too.
The pumpkin. We shall get to that. Tampa Bay heads to the Rams, maybe the best team in football right now, which we will discuss. 6, a look ahead, and 6.5 with the Rams laying it. 49.5 on the total with the Bucks at the Rams.
We'll talk about that once we get through that Rams Seahawks game, because that is a fascinating game to talk about.
Absolutely. 453, your Packers 27-20 winner over the Giants. They do cover the 5.5. The Jameis Winston pick late. I don't know if it was a broken route. I don't know what it was. It was just so Jameis Winston. An opportunity. Like, it was such. Because I know you're a Winston guy because of the, I guess, entertainment value.
Yeah, he's fun. He's fun.
He's something. The Packers, shall we start adding them to the fraudulent conversation? They got a much-needed win on the road, but it was not pretty.
I'm not ready to add him to the fraudulent conversation.
I'm not either.
Because this was a game where Jordan Love exited. You had Malik Willis in there for a drive or two. This is a game where you lost Josh Jacobs. Looks like that's not going to be a serious knee injury. That obviously matters for this Packers team. It is also a game where I feel like I could have caught the ball better than the Packers on the offensive or defensive side. I think they dropped like 4 interceptions. They dropped 4 or 5 passes from Love as well. It's just another performance by the Packers. We've talked about this. Where they just play to their level of competition. It's like, why can't we just be good for 60 minutes on a Sunday? Like, why is it just week one where we have this example? If we get the A game, I still believe, but the issue is we're just not seeing that A game.
there's way too much talent defensively to get carved up by Winston and Tyrone Tracy.
Well, here's the thing. They wouldn't have gotten carved up if they just caught the dang football, man. They dropped.
Watson
like
stepped up. We were texting about that. Christian yeah. Watson had a beautiful, I mean, it's a great throw from Love. Love is so talented. It's why it's hard to have the conversation about Love, because that throw to Watson and the catch by Watson in the corner of the end zone mm-hmm. was exemplary from both. Mm-hmm. Watson finally started to give you something. Everybody else drops these.
Yeah, I mean, Romeo Doubs, I think, had three himself that were just absolutely atrocious. Like Matthew Golden needs to get better late in his season here. He's just 1-for-24 in this game. Wicks goes 1-for-9. They just need somebody to step up right now, because Tucker Kraft was a huge part of this passing game, and he's not there. And so the question is, and it feels like this is the question we've asked about this Packers team for 3 years now, is who is going to step up? Who is going to be wide receiver one? Who is going to stay healthy? Still don't have an answer, Patrick. And then this was like Love went 13-for-24. He probably could have gone 18 or 19-for-24 in this game had they caught the football. And it just it would have been a completely different game if Green Bay just holds on to the football and catches it better. Both sides.
And Green Bay, yeah, no, I agree. Green Bay heads home and they host Minnesota. 5.5 look ahead, 6.5. I'm betting it before it gets to 7 late.
Do it. Now run. Do yeah, not
Minnesota.
Woof. J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, my.
Oh boy.
Evaluators are funny.
Oh, man. Should we rank the three worst quarterback performances of today at the end of the show, too? Because there's a lot of candidates.
McCarthy's not a quarterback. Oh. He seems like a nice kid. He's yeah. just, that's not. Yeah, we're both laying it, obviously, before it gets to 7.
Yep. Lay it with the Packers.
Now, the next one, the Giants are at Detroit. I remind you of Detroit, who had a bad loss, and then they took it out on maybe the Commanders. This is what Campbell's teams do. They just had a bad loss last night. Now they come back home, and they get the Giants. 9.5 look ahead, 10, 10.5. Probably still laying it with Detroit. Not going to be in a good mood.
Yeah, go get a 10. Find a 10, lay it. Look it for a first half here. You'll probably find a first half around -6.5. The one thing I do think we have to at least think about here is, are we going to get Dart back? Is he going to be back from a concussion? Because, like, I love Winston. He's fun. Dart makes this Giants team more competitive. Right?
Absolutely.
He gives them a better opportunity to actually win a football game. Jameis Winston's fun. He's going to sling it all over the place. He's going to throw it into coverage. You're going to get interceptions. You're going to get big plays. But I kind of would rather see that see Winston in four against Detroit if I'm trying to bet this game specifically on the Lions side. What about the total? 49.5 look ahead. This one reopens at 49.5. Any interest on just the over here?
Listen, Detroit's going to give you 30.
Yep. Maybe it's just Detroit team total. Maybe that's the route we go.
Well, I'll write that down. Detroit doesn't score 30, I'd be shocked. Shocked. Yeah.
It's a bad Giants defense. They're going to have plenty of opportunities.
And that's, again, Detroit, and then they stay home. Thanksgiving coming up. We'll have that one for you here, Sharp Money. And then next up, so we talked about that one. Next up, 457, Bengals at the Steelers. The Steelers, I'll go ahead and give you another one of my fraudulent teams. The Steelers, 34-12 winner. Obviously cover the 5.5. And it stays under the 48.5 with the Steelers taking care of business. Injury to the left hand of Rodgers in this one.
Yeah, Rodgers goes down end of the first half, does not play in the second half, and the Steelers put up a 24 spot. Way to go. You also lost Warren in this game as well. Knee injury there. We'll see if he comes back. Gainwell stepped in, played well for this Steelers team, specifically in the pass catching game. He ends up with 7-for-81 and 2 touchdowns through the air. Big story out of this one. I mean, well, first off, the inefficiency from Cincinnati in opportunities to be able to put more points on the board. They just don't. They end up kicking 4 field goals in this game. They had opportunities to put up touchdowns early, weren't able to do it. Just kind of blew the chances they had to keep this one close. This game ends up just falling under. The total was 48 here. We get to 46. The Bengals not able to get in the end zone late in this game and push it over. Ja'Marr Chase and what happened there. I mean, this is going to be two teams that we're going to talk about moving forward, because both of these teams are going to have massive adjustments this week. Ja'Marr Chase ends up spitting in this game. He is going to be suspended. The video is out there. He definitely did it. So he's going to be suspended for the next game. We already have a precedent here, the one-game suspension for doing that. And then we lose Aaron Rodgers and we lose Warren. So both these teams are going to look very different next week, Patrick.
Yeah, spitting at Jalen Ramsey. You're right. A suspension is pending. You know, Chase and Higgins just had three catches, respectfully, but, you know, two of them each. So wasn't the one thing I would say calling Pittsburgh a fraud. The defense does seem each week to be carrying the offense and getting better. So I guess we can give them credit there. I mean, I'm just out on Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
A playoff game. I can't wait to fade them.
Wait till we talk about next week's Pittsburgh game, because it is the all fraud bowl in the NFL next week.
Yeah, that's Pittsburgh-Chicago, and 1.5 look ahead for Chicago. And now we're seeing the key number of 3. For those that are questioning why we always harp on the 3, just look at Seattle and the Rams yesterday. Lands 2, and remember, we were talking, oh my goodness, if it gets to 3, I'm taking Seattle. If it's 2.5, I'm probably laying it with the Rams. That is a 15%. Generally hit rate each year with games being decided by 3. And this one has jumped the 3 with Chicago laying it hosting the Steelers.
Yeah, not surprising because we have the injuries to the Pittsburgh Steelers here with Warren and with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how big of a downgrade Rodgers is. I think it's awfully interesting that the market is saying it's not a huge downgrade here. I do think this is a middling number, meaning that we have not officially heard Rodgers is going to be out for next week. And so the books are kind of like, well, we don't want to hang at 2.5, take a bunch of Bears money and then find out Rodgers is out and this moves to 4.5, 5.5. We'd rather hang it at 3 or maybe on the other side of 3 here once we get a little bit of Bears money so that we can kind of protect ourselves.
So NFC, you're not in on Chicago, who do lead the NFC North. They are your third betting favorite. The Lions are +120, the Packers are +140, and the Bears are 4-1.
Yes, they are. And this is interesting when you look at the playoff yes-no market as well, Patrick, because you're probably getting 2 teams from that division into the playoffs. And mm-hmm. if you look at the Green Bay Packers, their yes is -350, no +270. If you look at the Detroit Lions, their yes is -450, +330. The Chicago Bears, who are leading the division, yes is -115, no is -105. So the markets are very much saying the Bears are the fraudulent team of those three. Despite leading the division, they're going to be the one that struggles down the stretch. I agree with it. It feels like this Bears team is just winning with duct tape and scissors right now and just tying things together with some string. And they've got at the Eagles, at the Packers, versus the Packers, at the Niners, versus the Lions still left on their schedule. I'll take the -105 no for the Bears to make the playoffs.
Bears fans could argue those tight wins culture. But then you look at variance, which we see with the Chiefs, who won every one-score game last year and have lost every one-score game this year, and they do have a good culture.
Well, let's talk about who those wins came against for the Bears, though. What is the best team that I'm about to mention? Their wins are against the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Commanders, the Saints, the Bengals, the Giants, and the Vikings.
I guess Vikings.
I mean, right?
Because of the I guess those are all scratch off teams as far as this year is concerned.
Exactly.
So you're right. Yeah, the competition's been horrible, and they barely beat them. But they are 7-3.
But they are, you can't take the wins away. You can bet against them to make the playoffs, though. That is one thing you can do about it.
A wise man once said, "You are what your record says you are." And Cincinnati, let's take a look. We talked about them earlier. New England is at Cincinnati. It's up to 7.5. I don't want to do anything with this one unless you want to go over.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be interesting in a couple factors. First off, no Jamar Chase, as we mentioned. This Patriots team should be able to pick their number against this terrible Bengals defense. I do kind of like the over here, Patrick, just because I think that you're going to see the Bengals be able to move the football through the air. Totals at 50.5. It's a little bit high. But at the same time, I think that it's over a pass here if you're going to play it. I do like the Patriots as a teaser as well. Now that we're on the other side of 7, if you want to take them down to 1.5 and a 6-point teaser, I do think that makes sense. Got to keep an eye on Joe Burrow here. His practice window was opened.
Yep.
I don't know why you would play him. Like, your season's lost. Putting in Joe Burrow could only help you win football games, which then gets you a worse draft pick, and you're not going to make the playoffs. Like, let's just be frank here. You needed to win one of these last 3 games, at least, if you wanted to be able to make a push inside the division, now sitting at 3-7. But you have to at least keep an eye on it, because if They decided to put Burrow in there. That makes us a little bit different of a Bengals team.
Yeah, the original time frame for Burrow was mid-December, so I'd be surprised if it's this weekend, but he's a different cat, so you might be right. Keep an eye out, obviously, injury season. Let's continue. And you asked for the fraudulent teams. I'm not going to put the Chargers at 7-4 as fraudulent just because of the two tackles, so it's kind of a lost year because of that. It's not going to get better for the Chargers. You could throw the Jags, who beat the Chargers 35-6. The Chargers were laying 3 at 6-4. You could put your Jags as a fraudulent team if you'd like.
Yeah, I don't mind saying the Jags are fraudulent here. And this is it. Look, the schedule kind of caught up to the Chargers here. We're in week 11. This is the fourth game in the Eastern time zone for the Chargers. None of them back to back. So that means that they have flown literally back and forth across the country 4 times already this season. They also played in Brazil against the Chiefs. So we're talking about 5-6 hour flights back and forth to games in 11 weeks for the Chargers. That's just tough. I mean, and then you add in the offensive line injuries. That was brutal. Look, Herbert looked awful in this game. I didn't think that the Jags were overly impressive, but this is an offense that could not move the football at all. We actually had some Trey Lance in the game here for the Chargers. I don't think this feels like it is not an accurate performance by either team. I don't think the Jags are this good. I don't think the Chargers are this bad. I'm not taking too much away from this game.
Jacksonville travels to Arizona. Jacksonville, this was a pick'em on the look ahead. Jacksonville has jumped to 2.5. And just it seems light on the total. I hate to keep saying this, but 47.5 seems light with the Jags and the Cards.
Yeah, look ahead here was it was 45.5. The Cardinals were laying 1.5. We've now seen the flip of the Jaguars 2.5-point favorite. So the 4-point move there, 47.5. I agree with you. The Cardinals are an over team, Patrick. They're just the Cardinals, the 49ers, two of my favorite over teams right now. Cardinals also should get a little healthier here with Marvin Harrison Jr. returning from appendicitis.
Okay, Samo, Chargers head to a bye. It's not going to help them because they're not going to get Alt or Slater back.
This is the lost season for this Chargers team.
It really is. It's unfortunate. Next up, so you wanted to talk it. It's so badly. You did it before when we were talking Atlanta. But the Bears do beat the Vikings 19-17. You feel like, obviously, the Vikings close 2.5, so the Bears an outright winner. You do feel like if the Vikings had any quarterback play, to your point about potentially Chicago being fraudulent, they would have won this football game pretty easily.
Both these quarterbacks were atrocious, Patrick. We're in a dome. It's not like we're outside in cold weather in Minnesota. Both quarterbacks go 16-32. J.J. McCarthy was disgustingly bad. Disgustingly bad. EPA numbers came out today, and a different podcast to listen to called Deep Dive. They were comparing the seasons for J.J. McCarthy in an EPA perspective to quarterbacks in the last 10 years. We're talking like DeShone Kizer. Rosen type range. Like, that's where we are with J.J. McCarthy right now. One of the analytical guys I follow on X over there put out a graph. He is solo by himself compared to every other quarterback in the NFL with how bad he's been. The body language with Justin Jefferson is starting to turn like A.J. Brownish, where he's just like, dude, it's close to me. Not even like, don't throw it 5 yards in front of me, 10 yards over my head. He's still late with the football. He's inaccurate. He got like a little shine. Addison dropped one, probably should have caught, would have been a big play in the first half. But outside of that, I mean, this was just a hideous game from J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, and imagine, because he kind of caught fire in the fourth yesterday. He's caught fire in the fourth quarters. We saw it against Chicago early. We saw it against Detroit. Imagine if you threw away those numbers as far as analytics. I mean, McCarthy is just, he was in a run-dominant offense in college, and it looks that way coming out.
I've got a question for you, Patrick. What is your game day alter ego's name? J.J. McCarthy goes by 9. That's how he gets himself pumped up. What's your
well,
podcast
I mean,
alter ego here?
You read 9 incorrectly. It's actually Donk. mine would be Jeezy.
There you go.
Yeah. How about
channeling,
you?
Channeling the dog.
I'm channeling
there.
A rapper.
The dog inside
dog.
Of you.
Yeah. I got that dog.
Yeah, I like it. I like
your
it.
Alter
I
ego.
I don't know, man.
Nine.
You know I'll go with Samobomb. Instead of Mikey, I got the Samo bomb in me every now and then.
Let's be fair. There's a little cheese associated with McCarthy. And when you're talking out loud about how you change to an alter ego, you're probably covering up for the fact that you just don't have arm talent.
Quarterbacks and eye black. Did he give away he wasn't good based on the just the like
just
full face eye black?
Try less hard, brother. Try less hard. You talked about.
You think him and Russell Wilson text each other?
Psalm 316. Chicago gets Pittsburgh 2.5, 3. We went through that one. Minnesota heads to Green Bay. We went through that one. Grabbed the 6.5 before it gets to 7.
Yeah, I like Green Bay. I don't know what to do. The Chicago Steelers game, man. Like both of these teams, just, I don't want to bet either of them. This is sometimes the most frustrating part about the NFL. You've got a team that you're excited to bet against, and then like you can't for 2 weeks because of who they're playing.
Yeah,
and that you don't get the spot you want, and so you're not able to capitalize off it because they show themselves as a fraud before you can make money off of it.
Facts. 469-49. Now this is a team I would throw in the fraudulent category, but it's too many injuries to make it punitive. They killed the Cardinals 41-22, cover the 3.5. Goes over easily the 48.5. This is a fascinating number because if you take a look at what Jacoby Brissett did in the game, I'll pull that up right now because it's pretty wild. Brissett was 47 of 57 for 452 yards, and they got beat by what, 19 points?
Yeah. I mean, he was just slinging it out there. He was doing his best Jameis Winston. Like, we'll go narrative street later, but Jacoby Brissett's better than Kyler Murray, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not even close. Had the over in this game. This is one of the best bets for the week. We talked about Michael Wilson props. He goes 15 for 185. Makes most of his opportunity there with literally everyone else on the Arizona Cardinals receiving side hurt here. The 49ers, their offense is kind of a truck right now. Like, we've talked about all the injuries they've had. A lot of those injuries are on the defensive side, or they're now players who have returned on the offensive side. We saw Ricky Pearsall back. We saw Brock Purdy back. Kittle obviously been healthy. McCarthy been healthy throughout the entire season. Jennings out there. He looks a lot healthier as well. This offense is good. This defense is putrid. I'm just going to keep rolling with the overs here with San Francisco until the near till further notice.
Yeah, Purdy back with that connection with Kittle. And the next two for these two, Arizona gets Jacksonville. We talked about those two being over teams. And then Carolina at San Francisco, also talked about the total going over potentially there. I don't know what San Francisco is supposed to do on defense. They lost their captain yesterday during the game. Next up, 467, the game that we were waiting on, Seattle at the Rams. So the Rams do close 3, and that's why it's important, because it's a 2-point loss for Seattle here. I'm not going to go as heavy as others on Darnold, who did have the 4 picks. Three of them definitely his fault. One of them not his fault. I'm not going to kill Seattle here.
No, you've mentioned 3 a couple times. Just to kind of hammer the point home, Patrick. 4 games landed on 3 this week.
Yep.
Very common number. 4 games landed on 3 just through the Sunday.
The common number.
Yeah,
yes.
It's around 15%, but that's why it's so important to capture 3 or the other side of 3s. This kicked 3.5, and I rebet the Seahawks and then sweated it the entire time. Look, Darnold imploded. Let's just be honest. This was his worst game. McVay had faced him last year in the playoffs and was able to do something similar, forced him into 11 sacks, and you could tell Sam Darnold did not want to take sacks in this game, and that created a couple bad decisions. I think he needs to realize how good his defense is, because this was a otherworldly performance by the Seattle defense, and everyone's talking about Sam Darnold coming out of this game. If you go and look at the box score and you talk about total yards in this game, this is a Seahawks team that put up over 400 yards of total offense. It is a Rams team that managed just 249 yards of total offense. Rams team had 12 first downs to the Seahawks 26. The Rams were 2 for 11 on third down. 2 of the touchdown drives for the Rams were a 3-yard touchdown drive, which it took 4 downs to get those 3 yards, and a 25-yard touchdown drive. They had one real drive the entire game against the Seattle Seahawks defense. That was a 10-play, 74-yard drive at the end of the first quarter. Outside of that, Seattle's defense stood up time and time and time and time and time again to keep this team in the game.
That's why I don't knock him. I really don't. And, you know, Stafford, who's still your betting favorite for the MVP, had 2 touchdown passes, but the numbers weren't great because this is a tremendous Seattle defense. And to be fair, it's a tremendous Rams defense as well.
Any interest in the Seahawks to win the division?
What's the number?
Number right now is at plus 130. I actually like them more to go as the number 1 seed in the NFC. You can get 9 to 9.5 to 1 there. They need to, if you look at the rest of their schedule, which is wildly soft for a team that's sitting here at 7-3, they have the Titans, that's a win, the Vikings, that's a win, the Falcons, that's a win, the Panthers and the 49ers to end the season. The two other games are at home, and they take on the Colts and the Rams. There is a world where they win out.
They can be a one seed.
And if they win out, they have a very legitimate shot at being the one seed there at 9.5-1.
Yeah, don't hate that. Seattle heads to Tennessee. So let's get this straight. Houston closed, I think, 5.5 at Tennessee, and it was a tight game, 3-point game. Seattle, well, the look ahead was 12.5. They're up to 13.5 at DraftKings. I can't lay 13.5 with any, like, really, with Seattle on the road right now, even as a pissed off team going to Tennessee.
I can't. Well, I can't take the 13.5. I would only lay
it here. No. I'm not going to take it. This game stinks.
It's one of those where I think this is just, look, the Titans aren't going to be able to run the football. They're going to really struggle with moving the football here. The question is do the what, like, how many points do the Seahawks put up? The total is at 42.5. I like, do we think the Seahawks put up 30? Because it's going to take 30 from Seattle at least to get over this total.
It's an under.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, like, I kind of feel like the Seahawks are going to get a lead in the first half and just slow it down and let this defense dominate. If the Rams couldn't move the football against this defense, how are
McDonald is not going to let the Tennessee Titans score.
No. This could be, like, to look at the Titans team total under. You can look that direction if you want to avoid the full game. But to me, this is a game where you're looking at unders. And you're looking at either Titans or full game, one of the two.
I would agree with you. Tampa Bay heads to the Rams. That's next Sunday night. And we mentioned it's 6.5 and 49.5 on the total.
It's a good game.
A very good game.
I cannot bet it until I know what this Bucs team looks like. Do we have Godwin? Do we have Bucky Irving?
Fair.
I like, those are the two key cut questions for me. I will say this. We just saw the Bucs 6.5 at the Bills. Now we're seeing the Bucs 6.5 at the Rams. That's saying the Rams and the Bills are basically the same team. If you believe that, then you're laying it. If you disagree with it, you're taking it. So you're going to have to decide what you feel about the Rams and the Bills here. Also, not an easy road trip for the Bucs, by the way. Have to fly up to New York, down to Florida, fly out to California. It's a tough spot here for the Bucs.
This is why the NFL, I love it, but it's hilarious from a market perspective. If you're saying the Rams and the Bills are the same, it's just the market saying, Josh Allen's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Rams are such a more well-rounded football team. They've got two edges on defense. They can do anything defensively. And obviously, offensively, they're a juggernaut. That's an insane statement.
And I realize that the, like, Super Bowl odds have a lot of other factors. Rams are the favorite at plus 550. The Bills are plus 850.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're getting, yep, like, I kind of, if it is the same Bucs team, if no Bucky Irving, no Godwin, we'll see if we get him back or not, then I'm laying it with the Rams.
The Broncos, 473, beat the Chiefs 22-19. The Chiefs are 5-5. The Chiefs were laying 3.5, an outright winner for the Broncos, moving to 9-2.
Is it strange to say Patrick Mahomes should be included in that list of quarterbacks that had a bad day? Like, if you're talking about the three worst quarterback performances, he at least
great.
Is an honorable mention here.
Missed a lot of deep throws. He just wasn't sharp in the game.
No, and he did that first drive. Took two shots deep. Had, I think it was Worthy by three steps on the first one.
Missed
them. Thornton by a step and a half. Missed them both. Kind of a fraudulent 19 from Kansas City, as every one of the touchdown drives, I'm sorry, the two touchdown drives and a field goal drive all helped out by long pass interferences or that one Thornton long pass play. Like, you had a 43 and 49 yard pass interference calls, I believe it was. One of those I agree with, one of them I don't. But that's how this Kansas City football team moved the football. You outside of that, you had these, like, long elongated drives where they slowly were able to methodically move down the field. But, like, it's just not the explosiveness that you'd expect. Now, Denver's defense, very good. Their pass rush was causing trouble for the Chiefs all game here. You lose an offensive lineman in game. There's other reasons to have issues here. But that last couple drives where, you know, Kansas City has the football up 19-16, they go 3-and-out. The game tied at 19, they get the football back, they go 3-and-out again. That's concerning to me, because that's not the Kansas City we saw last year. And it's not the Kansas City that we've come to expect, especially with Patrick Mahomes.
Broncos 9-2 go on by. Fraudulent, or you believe because of the defense?
Both.
That fence must be ripping your ass apart.
It's tough, man. It's tough. Look, they are fraudulent as in the fact that they will not win a Super Bowl, right? They are fraudulent as the fact that they should not be 9-2. They will make the playoffs. They will probably win this division.
Who's more dangerous in the postseason, the Patriots or the Broncos?
The Patriots.
I would agree.
Because, like, you can't be Bo Nixon it out there in the playoffs. And the Patriots with Drake May has already shown he can beat the Bills, right? Has already shown he can win those big-time games. This Broncos team is just kind of finding ways with the defense. Now, they also get Pat Surtain back at some point, so this defense gets even better. But I think you don't see the Broncos end up as the one seed, which means they're going to have to go on the road and do some of this, which scares me even more. I think it's the Patriots over the Broncos here. And I will say this. I finally did it. I bet the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
Let's go. What number did you get?
12-1.
Well, here, before we get into that, we have officially, over the last, 7 years, entered very rarefied territory for the Chiefs because they're hosting Indianapolis. We've never seen them in desperation mode in week 12. They are officially in desperation mode, a la Baltimore, a few weeks back. So it's a very interesting betting market right now for the Chiefs. I like the number you got on them winning a Super Bowl. I still don't hate that. But 3.5 with Indy coming to town.
Yeah, it's interesting. Bill Bronwell, who writes for ESPN, had an article about this Chiefs team that came out this morning. And statistically, they are significantly better than last year's team, despite being 5-5. From a DVOA perspective, from an EPA perspective, defensively, offensively, they are better than last year's team. They're just not winning all the close games. You know, they're still not getting those plays at the exact times like they got last year that they need, and that's why we saw a 15-1 record last year, and they're sitting at 5-5 this year. After the Colts, this gets a lot easier. They're going to beat the Cowboys. They're going to beat the Texans. They're most likely going to beat the Chargers at home. They're going to beat the Titans. They're going to beat the Raiders. And so it's really this Colts, and then they take on the Broncos again at home on Christmas Day there. Two losable games the rest of the way. They're going to make the playoffs. You're never getting better than 12-1.
I agree.
Unless they lose to the Colts, which I would rebet them. If they lose to the Colts, you end up at like 16-18-1, fine. But you're going to – this is the time if you believe this Chiefs team is there, and we can have a conversation about it if you want, Patrick, but there's nobody who's that good in the NFL right now.
No.
And
no,
so I'm
– we'll get to Detroit in
a
bit.
I'm willing to just take a shot.
Yeah. DraftKings, if you're hearing us here, sharp money, DraftKings is 3. They'll get to 3.5. I like Kansas City laying the 3.
Yeah, I do too. I think this is a good spot for Kansas City. Now, it is a off-the-bye game for the Colts, so you'd expect that they're going to come ready, and I like Shane Steichen as a play caller, but back, like you mentioned it, this is a back-against-the-wall, must-win type spot for the Chiefs here, and they're at home. It's a 1 p.m. kickoff there in Kansas City. I think they're just going to take care of business against a Colts team that I still am not sure how good this defense is.
The Chiefs are 5-5. The Ravens are 5-5, and you mentioned fraudulence. So let's get into it. They don't cover the 7.5, ends up 7 at the Browns, 23-16, a Ravens win.
They just look broken, specifically in the offensive
dispirited
side of the ball.
They look dispirited.
It's just so choppy. It's just not like this efficient
stale
offense that we're used to. Derrick Henry goes for 103 yards. That's a fraudulent 103 yards because 59 of it came on one run. They get a big touchdown late in the game from Mark Andrews on a 35-yard fake tush push. Mm-hmm. Like it's just – it's not – this is a Browns team they should have absolutely taken behind the woodshed. It was Dylan Gabriel, and then it was Shador Sanders, a quarterback, and they couldn't do it. The Browns combined for 81 net yards passing, and they won this – the Ravens won this game by 7. They were down 13-3 at one point in this game. This was at half. We were talking about a 16-10 game. It took 13 fourth quarter points, and it really was set up by those two long runs, or else I'm not sure they would have been able to get it. Lamar Jackson ends 14 for 25 for a 193 and two interceptions. Could have been 3 or 4. We saw Myles Garrett just go off. He has 4 sacks, almost was the first player in NFL history to have two 5 sacks games in a single season. I think this Baltimore team is broken, and we've got everybody back from injury. and we have not seen the version of Baltimore that we thought we would see at the start of the season.
Yeah, they, over the past few seasons, even if, you know, the playoff failures we know, but the regular season, they were exciting. Mm-hmm. I was watching them in Cleveland yesterday. I'm like, this is stale.
Yeah.
Something feels stale. But the Charmin tour continues as far as the schedule for Baltimore because they get the Jets at home next week. It's unbelievable. And Baltimore is laying 13.5. DraftKings has 14.
Yeah, you remember when I said there's fraudulent teams that you don't get a chance to bet against? I mean, this is just the schedule of all schedules for Baltimore because it's the Jets next week. It's at home against the Bengals in that week after that. It's at home against the Steelers the week after that. And then you go on the road against the Bengals. You have to wait essentially four more weeks to really have an opportunity to bet against them in a coin flip game where I'd love the Patriots if we got this version, today's version of the Ravens. With a month to improve, we'll see what we get. But it probably is not going to be as good of a spot it would be if that game happened today.
Yeah, I agree. Cleveland heads to Vegas. We'll find out more about Vegas tonight, although I think we've seen a large enough sample size. And Cleveland, Vegas is 3.5. Shador or Dylan Gabriel is a question.
Yeah, it is. Shador looked awful. Like, awful. Like, no clue what he's doing out there bad. Now, like, let's be fair. The offensive line stinks. There's no playmakers on the outside. Like, there's a bunch of problems in Cleveland. It's not just Shador Sanders, but Dylan Gabriel wasn't good. Shador was worse. Now, it was funny because the offensive line came out and said that they had only heard Sanders' cadence three times before taking a snap, which is just malpractice by the coaching staff because at some point you should be bringing in Sanders just to figure out what you got. So the idea that he's taken so few snaps with the ones is disappointing because it really gave him no opportunity to be able to succeed in this game, but it wasn't pretty what we got there. I mean, it's probably Brown still. I would want to know if it's Sanders or Gabriel, but I'm not in a position where I'm looking to lay the Raiders on a short week.
I'll take the 3.5. Have we seen a chasm like this with an offense being so porous and a defense being so legit like Cleveland this year? You generally don't see such a juxtaposition.
No, the Jets a couple years back.
The Jets had a great defense.
When they were like top three in the NFL and that offense stunk. I mean, you could argue the Texans this year are like a light version of Cleveland with an elite defense and just a terrible offense. But this offense is so bad. If it weren't for the Titans, they would be the worst offense in the NFL. And you could argue they still are very, very close to that. And this defense is inarguably a top five defense just trying to help tread water.
475, the Lions at the Eagles. The Eagles a 16-9 winner. They do cover the 2.5. Couple things here. One, a late Laporta scratch, which is huge. Two, we have continued bad offensive line play for the Lions. And then three, I think it was NFL.com that had Jared Goff as the overall 13th best player in the NFL. And I don't mean to be disrespectful about ball knowers, you know, that thing the kids say now. Mm-hmm. But if you think, I mean, Goff plays quarterback. If you think he's a good quarterback, you genuinely, I don't know what to say. And that's not beating up on him because he was 38% completion last night. He needs everything to be perfection, and it certainly was not that against a very good Philly D, to be fair to Philly. The offense still stinks.
See, Goff plays point guard. Josh Allen plays quarterback.
There you go.
You know, like if everyone else is hitting their shots, if there's open guys,
he's fine.
He's getting the ball to you. If it's cold and everyone's covered.
Not last night. He couldn't have been less. He literally completed like 34% of his passes last night. I'm not even mad as a Lions fan. It was just whatever.
He finished
defense
the game,
played fine.
He finished the game 2-for-18 on his last 18 attempts.
Is that good? Is that good or bad? Like, the Dylan Gabriel laughs at that.
Shador Sanders laughs at it. He was 3-for-10. He's like, I could have done that.
I just love the Goff narrative. It's like,
look, here's
are you
the
watching
thing.
Him?
Did you see the pass interference too? I thought that was hilarious.
Detroit got no. They weren't going to do anything when they got the ball
back. That's the thing.
But this is why it's betting the sport can sometimes be funny, because I mean he's talking about Detroit getting called for a phantom pass interference, which was a joke. Even Collinsworth was going nuts.
It was OPI or nothing. Because, like, A.J.
Brown pushed off
and then goes and turns around.
I was laughing.
The ball's also
care.
Not catchable. But to your point, like, I thought it was funny. Everyone's making a big deal about this. I'm like, What over the last 40 or 58 minutes makes you believe Jared Goff is going to go down and score a touchdown on this defense?
One person that liked the PI call on Detroit was Jared Goff. He did not. He was too cold. He didn't want to go back out there.
He legitimately, he had sad eyes the entire second half. Like every time he's running off the field, they're focusing in on the helmet, and you just see like there weren't any tears welling up, but you could kind of see inside his soul that he was just not a happy person.
Nice guy. He's always got a little bit of an off look to him.
Yeah.
But listen, he's my quarterback, just like the coach is my coach. One thing we can say. And you know how much I think Ben Johnson's the greatest play caller I've ever watched. Dan Campbell is not Ben Johnson with the dance that is an offensive rhythm, to be fair. And I love my coach.
Yeah.
But could you be more rudimentary with the way he was calling that game? And I don't have a problem. You're an advanced guy, so you don't have a problem with the fourth down attempts. It's the call. It's the calls. It's the plays.
There were a couple of them where I'm like, bro, like, you know, it's fourth and five at the Philly 35. Fourth and three.
He just decided this is who he is, and there's no nuance. That's why I love the guy. I love that he's just digging into pride. This is me. This is who I'm going to be. He said it so many times that now he can't even have reason enter the picture.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, for the most part,
such a goofball.
It's fine, but like. The fake punt? Are we sure we should have been faking a punt with a direct snap up the middle where they're literally rushing your punt? Like
they literally were like, they're going to fake this, and he didn't call a timeout. Here's the problem, and I love him, but he is such a meathead. When stories come out, you guys don't realize how smart Dan Campbell is. It's because you're not that smart. He's a tremendous leader of men.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need a Peter Schrager story about how brilliant Dan Campbell is. People just, quote, don't get it. No. I need, Ben Johnson's he's literally a mathematics major at North Carolina. That's smart. Campbell's a good guy.
He's a good guy. There was a stretch of six possessions where the Lions had five turnover on downs and a touchdown. Like, that's what, like, but that's kind of like, I commend him for leaning into the shtick. Like,
he's literally horizontal leaning. Here's why it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
Last year was such a perfect storm of schedule and just everything for the, you knew you were losing the defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator after the year. And let's give it a shot. Like you said, there aren't any good teams. I'm still fine with the Lions. They're just, they're like everybody else. They have a lot of flaws.
Yeah, here's my issue. And I think this is kind of where he was missing the point.
I love my meathead.
The play before, this is the stretch of the downs plays, right? Okay. The Eagles go three and out gaining 2 yards.
Yeah.
The Lions get the ball back. They go 4 plays, 9 yards, and lose the ball on downs. The Eagles get the football back and go 3 and out, gaining 0 yards. Okay? They punt. The Lions then have 4 plays, 8 yards, lose it on downs, and the Eagles get a field goal because of it. I'm all for the, like, going being aggressive. When your defense is literally shutting them down, you're the one moving the football, not the other way around. Like, could we just pin them back and let them, force them to kick it to you?
That's a great point. The nuance of not understanding the strength at that moment from your team, like, it's almost an impediment to put that on the offense, who just had nothing going, to say, hey, let's get it here.
Yeah.
No, maybe the defense forces a turnover. Maybe you get better field position. Like, there's more to it.
Let's look at the third quarter.
What's
Lions,
that?
6 plays, 33 yards, turnover on downs. Eagles, 3 plays, 0 yards, punt. Lions, 6 plays, 69 yards, turnover on downs. Eagles, 5 plays, 44 yards, punt. Lions, 4 plays, or 7 plays, 40 yards, turnover on downs. Eagles, 11 plays, 25 yards, field goal. They only had to go 25 yards to get a field goal because of all these turnover on downs. Like, they lost the field position battle in a game that was a 16-9 game. Because he just kept going for it. And I agree with some of them. But at some point, you have to realize we can lean into this defense right now. Jared Goff doesn't have it. He looks like a scared puppy running off the field every single time. maybe I should just punt it and let our defense do a good job and we'll get the football back right here or in a better field position.
Yeah, get that, get Goff some smelling salts or something. Yeah. Just give him a break. Yeah. And anybody, I understand people get upset when I talk about Goff the way I do. Go ahead and just check out the performance last year at home against the Washington Commanders in the postseason. Yeah. And everything was perfect. It was horrible defense. The Commanders' defense last year was horrific. And he couldn't have been worse.
What did you make of Sirianni going for it on 4th and 1 from his own 29 when the Lions couldn't do anything on offense?
Sirianni, and you can't kill him because he's got a Super Bowl and he's got another appearance. Sirianni gives me the impression he's like, I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I'm the head coach of the Eagles.
That, yeah, there, this is there going is well.
There is a very make-a-wishy feeling to that situation.
Wow.
I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I just mean it like, let's move on. but to finish this,
yeah,
the Eagles. I mean, if you didn't see the Barkley regression after the usage rate last year, he's gaining like 65 yards on the ground a game. Last year he was over 100. I don't know what you take from the Eagles except that they're a professional team that aren't going to turn the football over and just be in every game.
The defense is really good. I mean, I think that's
defense
what you,
is tremendous.
The defense is really good. And if this defense is really good, they're going to be able to win games ugly. And they're going to be able to have games like this where you're like, Jalen Hurts kind of stinks. Doesn't matter. Barkley's just okay. Doesn't matter. They're going to be fine because they're going to grind out some field goals. You're going to have a tush push here or there, and all of a sudden they're going to have 15 points, 16 points, 17 points on the board, and the other team's not going to be able to get there. So like, that's kind of who this Eagles team is. I don't need them on primetime anymore. They're boring as shit to watch.
They are just brutal.
They're
paint drying. By the way, you're making me laugh because like NBC did Goff dirty as well, because every time they would talk about the wind blowing, they would go to his face on the sideline. You could just tell he doesn't like wind.
No.
He does not like it chilly and windy. He's literally a California kid.
He's got the hood on with the zip ties, two gloves. What are we doing with two gloves, Jared?
It's like 50 degrees.
Unbelievable.
Oh, what a donk. All right, that brings us to the top as your Monday night affair. They couldn't flex in week 11, or maybe the networks, they can start flexing in week 12. Cowboys Raiders.
That's a flex.
Did it open 1.5 and now it's up to 3.5 with the Cowboys laying it?
It did. So this one's gotten a run away a little bit here as the Cowboys become bigger and bigger favorites. Look, this is going to be a more entertaining game than last night. I'll put it that way.
This game is so watchable.
Yes. I like the Cowboys at 3, but that number's gone. Obviously, would have loved the 1.5. I did not get in on that. Total sitting at 49.5. It feels a little high to me just because I do think that people need to realize this Cowboys team is getting a lot of reinforcements on the defensive side. They're adding 4 players, 2 through the trade deadline, 2 back off injury here. That should bolster this Cowboys defense up, and I like the fact that we do have a healthy Dak, healthy Pickens, healthy Lamb, everybody going to be out there for the offense. So I like the Cowboys side of this. I played it at 3, 3.5. It's getting a little touch and go. But if you want to play like Cowboys money line with a adjusted CD Lamb over receiving yards prop, I wouldn't talk you out of that one, right?
Yeah, I would get creative. You're certainly getting the worst of it at 3.5 at this point, as you mentioned. I don't hate your 3. I do think that total, it's moved heavy to the over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's with Bowers back in, this is a different looking Raiders team, right? And the expectation is they're going to be able to throw the football in this game to Bowers. They're going to have some issues running it as the Cowboys have gotten better on the defensive line part of this. But I would be surprised if the Raiders don't at least have some success throwing the football. How about this? Rams, or CeeDee Lamb, 70-plus receiving yards. Cowboys money line, plus 115.
Cosign.
Let's go. Well, it's got to find something.
It's watchable. You know, yeah. Here's what the Vegas, the Raiders stadium plays on TV. It's tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders aren't a boring team to watch. And the Cowboys they're just slanging it.
Let me tell you, after being in Las Vegas this weekend.
Oh, boy.
80% of this crowd is going to be Cowboys fans. I mean,
you saw a lot of Emmitt Smith jerseys.
I played poker on Friday night. There were 5 people who were going to the game on Sunday or on Monday night, all Cowboys fans. It was like you saw more Cowboys jerseys hanging out at Circa all weekend than any other jersey. Like it is going to be 80% Cowboys fans in that building.
And week 11 tonight concludes in Vegas. So I'll kind of put a bow on Sharp Money this way. This weekend just has got me upside down. It's we've officially flipped over before the holidays with what these teams are.
Yeah,
Kansas City's 5-5. Baltimore's 5-5. Detroit low key stinks. Like, there's a lot going on here.
We're just out on Detroit, huh?
I mean, it's okay.
There is a lot going on. But I also kind of feel like this was one of those weeks that we were waiting for. You mentioned, you know, you kind of had Darnold Pumpkin, you had Goff Pumpkin. We knew it was coming at some point. It was just, when was it coming? It was, you know, they lasted the whole 15 days after Halloween to be able to wait to Pumpkin there. I still like those teams as regular season teams. That's what makes, like, the Super Bowl so interesting to me. The Seahawks are 10-1 to win the Super Bowl. I like the Seahawks a lot. They're not winning the Super Bowl, Patrick. The Lions are 11-1 to win the Super Bowl. I like the Lions a lot. Lions aren't winning,
the Super Bowl.
Right? Broncos are 13-1. Patriots are 14-1. Not winning the Super Bowl. So, like, the Packers at 16, they're interesting. I told you, I got the Chiefs at 12. I think that's a great number. I would not bet the Bills at 850. The Rams or the Eagles, they make sense. They're plus 550 and plus.
What's the Packers
though?
Number?
Packers are 16-1.
I love it. Here's why. We're going to be doing this dumb podcast during the postseason. We're going to be like, where was this team all year? We knew this was in them.
Yeah.
We're talking Packers. Also, I'd love your Chiefs bet. I'm not even concerned about them at 5-5.
Here's the thing. If, let's say, they make the playoffs, what's their price? 7-1? 6-1?
6-1.
They're going to make, just take the 12. If you can get, it's 10 at DraftKings right now. There's a 12 in Vegas when I was out there. Like, I don't mind betting this team to win the Super Bowl at all. Again, you're betting on the upside, you're betting on the variance, but you're getting a much better number than you're going to get once the playoff starts. And guess what? People are going to be talking about the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl once the playoff starts.
Oh, totally. For those injuries, weather, everything, podcast links, make sure you sign up for the VSiN newsletter. It's tremendous. Billy D does a great job. It's in your inbox every single morning. There's no obligation. Go to VSiN.com/newsletter and enter your email address. Are you going to take a nap?
Dude, it was rough, man. I get it. Like, I feel for you, brother. It's one thing when you're like, oh, maybe I'll get delayed because of weather, because all the shit's going on at airports, all that kind of stuff. No, but just a issue with the airplane. So my 10 o'clock flight ends up leaving the airport at 12:30. Don't get home until almost 2 o'clock last night. It's a rough way to go. Although I did watch 3 movies on a flight from Vegas to Santa Barbara. That tells you how long it took. I watched 3 freaking movies on a flight from Vegas to Santa Barbara.
What was the best of the 3?
Ooh. You know what? I am going to go with a movie that I've watched before, but I do enjoy. It's Ready Player One. Steven Spielberg movie based off of a book about a virtual reality video game that takes over the world, and the ability of those people, like a team of 5, like I'm going to say like 22-ish year olds, to take that back from a evil corporation.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe you.
It's a fun watch. It's not a good movie. It's a fun movie.
It's a fun watch.
I also watched 21 Jump Street, which actually stands up.
That's supposed to be a really good movie. I've never seen it.
It had no right to be a good movie. And they did a good job, and it's actually still funny.
I genuinely feel for you because I'm older than you. I don't have responsibilities. You are younger than me with a wife and a child coming back from Vegas to... Hanging out with Derek Stevens at Zirka. Oh,
that's a good time, man. It's a good time.
Feel better. That is Sharp Money, your Monday morning edition. We'll be back on Thursday as these numbers bake and we try to make ends of what these teams are. I'll see you then, Sama.
Sounds good. Catch you Thursday,
right,
Patrick.
See you Thursday.